B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey, I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-zap, ba-do-zap.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season four, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
All right, good morning. Welcome into 98.5, the Sports Hub. No Toucher, no Rich, no Wallach. So, no problem, I guess.
The board's broken. Things are broken. We're not good this morning.
So we've moved.
It's a holiday. We shouldn't be here.
We've moved Mike Lockhart from the other box to the studio. It'll be on headlines. And Dan O'Brien's here for the wisecracks all day long.
No, come on.
Very salty, Dan, on Friday.
I did. What the hell happened on Friday, by the way?
I don't know. Things got weird.
Not weird.
What the hell happened with me on Friday?
Well, that's what I'm talking about, Dan. Things got weird with Fred. He started attacking Joe at some point.
Fred was at home again
and still recovering.
But what did I do?
Context.
I filled in for him the day before.
I don't know.
Nobody knows what you guys are talking about.
No. I heard that they were insulted that I retweeted Leroy Irvin.
Yeah.
The guy that I work with at 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, we work together. We're all co-workers.
I don't know. Never mind.
The association was that he happens to work for another morning show in the market.
Do they get that the guy
I don't think so, because honestly, I didn't even realize that it was Leroy. I thought it was the host of the show. So
either way, we tried to get Leroy in here like 3 weeks ago after the whole beef thing.
Of course.
So what's the
difference? He walks down the hallway every half hour or so.
Yeah. But it's just like he's busting balls, but like I want to bust balls too. Right? You're worried about the damn show down the street, literally around the corner, that had a sausage guy on opening day?
Yeah, that's 4 hours to do it, Ted. To go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
Ted has no clue what's going on.
Friday was a little odd.
Three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson and host of the, what are we calling this?
The Sunday Football Show.
The Sunday Football Show with Ted Johnson. Easy enough, right?
Very basic.
Yeah, I was here Thursday, Ted, and then Friday I get this, hey, Fred's like killing you. And I'm like, all right. And normally I'm like, whatever. Like, I'm like, all right, yeah.
That happens.
They'll have fun with it. But then I heard the reasons, and I'm like, what did I do? Like, it's just whatever. I don't care.
You retweeted Leroy.
I retweeted Leroy with the sausage guy on opening day of baseball.
Oh, yeah. And they thought that it was the, hey, what about our show?
That's right.
You don't retweet other shows' stuff.
Exactly.
Gotcha. That's where the rash came in. Okay, all right, very good.
It's all good.
Freddie.
Are you guys going to that Wilbur show?
I am not. I have a weekend of soccer, and my wife's away, so I can't.
Dan, you going to be there?
So this is another story about context. The show that they're doing at the Wilbur, Fred and Rich forgot to put aside comp tickets. So they basically were saying, hey, if you want to go, you can buy them. But by the time the word got out, there was about 7 individual tickets left up in the balcony, like middle row.
How about you, Ted?
And I said, you know what? I don't know if I don't know if I am going. My initial thought was perhaps I would be involved in some of the production or helping out. I'm more than willing to help out and work at the event, but I don't know if I'm going to be needed. So
you won't
beyond that, I would love to go. Joe, I would love to go.
How about you, Ted? You going?
I don't know what the event is.
Okay. Me either.
Fred and Rich are doing something.
Brookline 911 live.
I could not be more lost this morning.
You should have been here on Friday.
Really? Even worse than this?
There's a few things. So Fred not feeling well for well over a week. I mean, it was pretty bad.
Yeah,
so
I filled in for him one.
The context would have been on Wednesday, broadcast from home.
Yep.
Thursday, sick. And then said, you know what, for everybody involved, because he knew everyone else was going on vacation, probably best to not come in the next day. Very confident he could do the show. He's going to do the show from home
on Friday, and then
off, for vacation. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that got me sort of in trouble was him talking about, initially one of his stories was he went to bed at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. and woke up at 4 o'clock Thursday afternoon. So I'm doing the numbers with Rich in my, and I was doing it, and I'm like, that's 21 hours.
Straight sleep, Fred.
Of basically just sort of, you know, being bedridden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Comatose.
Not being bothered and not being sort of like, you know, when you're sick, you get up for a little while, then you get, but no, this was just sort of, this was just sort of down for the, down for the count.
Wow.
So my comment to Rich, because Rich is sitting sort of, you know, eye contact with me.
Are we on Twitch today?
And I said, I said in Rich's headphones, he was very tired from the week before when he took the day off, but he had to get up and go to the bank because he had this issue with somebody forging one of his checks.
Whoa.
So somebody forged a check that he had. They fished it out of a mailbox, I think.
Yeah.
Forged it for a considerable amount of money and then cashed it. And then he was contacted by the bank saying, hey, you know, somebody did this. So had to go down and fill out some paperwork and figure that all out. So
then it happened again.
Then it happened again with the same check, Mike. I think people are just passing it around.
What do we do with paper checks anymore?
That's my question.
Eliminate that.
Checks.
Fred Toucher.
Fred, unbelievable.
Many checks, like for many things, like more than one. I went back and looked at my checkbook. I think the last check I wrote was in December.
I don't even know if I wrote a check.
I don't remember the last time I've written a check. That's amazing. So somebody went into his personal mailbox, took out a check.
No, into the regular mailbox.
They fished it out of the side.
It's a scam that's going on. Yes.
Oh, unbelievable.
Mailbox phishing. So
that's
you
crazy.
You put a little fishing line in with something sticky at the end of it, and you pull out the checks that whatever comes back out.
Yeah.
And around this time of year, people are writing checks for the IRS.
To him twice?
Well, the same check is now being
same
passed.
Same check's now being passed. Everybody's using the Fred. Okay, gotcha. Yes. Okay.
So Fred had to go to he went to the bank and was there for a considerable amount of time because things didn't move that quickly. So it didn't help him in his recovery of being able to sleep. So when he told the story again about sleeping for 21 hours, my reference to Rich was, well, he spent the whole day at the bank, and Rich made a reaction, and Fred saw it on the cameras, and it did not go.
It didn't go well from there.
Didn't go over well.
Little
from there.
Cincy, little Cincy. Man.
Thank you,
Fred.
No. Right, you caught up on the context.
All right, I'm all caught up now. Very good. Okay, gotcha.
All right, I'm out.
Oh, jeez.
No, you know, I'm here for it all day, Dan.
No, have a good day.
We are here.
It's so fragile, isn't it? That collective kind of. I don't know, psyche of everybody. You say one little thing, and then the whole thing just comes crumbling down.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And then it's, oh, sorry, Fred. Didn't mean to upset you. That kind of stuff.
So Nick's here.
I meant to upset him.
you meant to. I'm sorry. Right. No, I served my purpose exactly the way I want to do it. Okay, very good. Okay.
Nick's here. We're on Twitch. So hello, everybody on Twitch. Yesterday was Easter.
yes, it was.
I guess for some people, it wasn't, but I was out and about yesterday. I had a nice day, a little, North Shore day, and I'm by the water, had a little steak and eggs.
There you go.
Steak and eggs.
Went with steak. I was going to do lobster and eggs, and I'm like, I don't know.
Ooh.
You ever done that?
No.
No. I mean, I love lobster, but.
Yeah. Like a lobster omelet kind of thing?
Yeah.
All right. All right. You're gonna tell us where.
I was in Swampscott, Mission on the Bay.
Okay. Very good. Yep. You recommend?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Nice spot.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you'll ever go to the North Shore in your life.
So you went to the North Shore. You had a nice breakfast, steak and eggs at this establishment, and you considered maybe getting lobster and eggs. And you decided,
I thought about getting. Yeah, and I went with steak and eggs.
You went with steak and eggs.
Yeah. Okay. I just don't know if lobster is a part of my breakfast yet.
Yet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like, you're thinking about it.
What are you waiting for?
A buffet?
Yeah,
maybe I'll try it at a buffet one time.
Steak and eggs. Like, I mean, I just can't imagine. No, I mean, look, I'm sure people do it all the time. I mean, I've heard of steak and eggs. It's just like a steak. What kind of steak?
It was an English muffin with a little filet patty with an egg on top.
Gotcha.
Okay. I ate all of them at once.
Gotcha.
I had to get the whole experience of the bread, the meat, and the
all of it together.
The egg,
just
all
one big bite.
Right.
Excellent. Okay.
It was a great day, and then of course we had a great afternoon delight.
Oh, we did. It was awesome
with
day
with the Celtics.
Preceded by the Red Sox, which had a really that was a really good game.
Yeah.
Excellent game, I thought, and so it was a lot of fun to see the Red Sox do their thing and Tony Mazz.
Yeah, he did great.
In the booth with Dan O'Brien, it was the first time I got to see and hear Tony Mazz, and I thought he was excellent yesterday.
Yeah, I did too.
So that was you're right. It was a great day. And then of course the Celtics Nets game, which was an epic game, to say the least.
We'll play all the highlights.
I'm sure we're going to talk about that throughout the morning.
Yeah. We'll play all the highlights, but I just kind of want to like start with something. Our midday host, or is that okay to promote another show? Our midday producer mentioned, is there a bigger villain in Boston than Kyrie Irving in the history? So for some reason, I still feel A-Rod. I don't know why. Was a Red Sox, somehow went to the Yankees, and it was just the rivalry at the time. It was huge. The Red Sox made a trade at the time to get Alex Rodriguez, and somehow the Yankees ripped him away. Hey, we're going to move you to third, and, you know, all that stuff. It just never happened. And I don't think Red Sox fans ever got over it. That's how the whole fight happened in 04, whatever. But I've been thinking about it. And the whole time I watched the game yesterday, it was more about Kyrie Irving didn't want to do this in Boston. Like, he is a Hall of Fame talent. He's elite. I don't think everyone can say whatever they want about him. He's a child. He walks away. He misses game. I mean, it's all his beliefs. You name it. The guy's a wacko. But on that basketball court, he's probably one of the top five in the league when he wants to be.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He can play.
And the fact is that he didn't want to do it here, and it made me sick. It made me sick watching him play, yes, last night, because I think we all know still he can do that.
Right.
Like, I don't think there was a thought that, oh, Kyrie's not as good anymore. No, he's still that good, and I think he's, like, better than the players. Like, you put Tatum on him. You put Smart on Brown on him. At one time, I think Horford tried to cover him.
Yeah, they tried to put Smart and Horford on him at the end of the game.
They couldn't even nobody could stop him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was personal or if he was, you know, pumped up from the fans or whatnot.
He was.
But it made me sick watching because he didn't want to do it in Boston.
Yeah. Did he ever want to do it here? For a minute. And, you know, people say he lied. I just think he was just trying to get himself out of trouble. He said he was going to re-sign here if you'll have me, right? I don't think he ever. I mean, he was traded here.
Yeah.
He didn't choose Boston. He was traded here. And so I don't know if he ever wanted to be here. You know, you can say, well, what happened where he got disgruntled and he decided he didn't want to play for the Celtics anymore? I don't know if he ever did. That's what I keep coming back to when it comes to it. But yeah, it was there isn't a bigger villain right now in this town when it comes to our sports teams than Kyrie Irving. Absolutely not.
But I think at one point he did want to play here. Okay. I think he got hurt.
Yeah, that's when everything changed, when he got hurt. Because everything was good when he got traded here. He was killing it. You know, all those fourth quarter buckets he was hitting, and then he said he wanted to come back here, and then he got hurt, and everything changed.
Well, the thing was, they had a thing with Terry Rozier.
Right.
You know, he was playing hot. I mean,
yeah.
They ended
it was
up getting
the scary Terry and all that.
Exactly. Yeah. They brought Drew Bledsoe back. Remember the whole Bledsoe thing?
You know, he liked that. He just didn't like.
Well, I think the young guys
backup
were like,
taking his.
The young guys are kind of like, we don't need these guys. I think it caused a problem with Hayward. I think it caused a problem with Kyrie Irving. Horford wanted to go get more money elsewhere. Like, and not for nothing, but I think Kyrie was right about some of these young kids. Up until this stretch they've had where they've turned it around, they've gone from like 11th seed to the second seed, this was a disappointing group. And at times I go, wow, this is why Kyrie didn't want to play here. Maybe Kyrie was right. Watching them blow a 14-11 point lead, whatever it was yesterday, and them getting, you know, Nets going on top, it was a great win. They stole it. The Celtics blew it and stole it. But I'll tell you, the Nets aren't afraid of that group.
No, of course they're not. They've got two of the better players on the planet, so they're good.
And one of them didn't even play decent.
Right.
Like Durant hit a shot late in the fourth. I don't know if you saw it. Up fakes, gets the ball stolen, takes it back, looks around, and then just pops it in, and it just goes off the front rim and they go up 2 points with like a minute to go.
Yep.
And I'm just like, nobody could have stopped that shot. And it was a divot. He was like in the corner. Like it was
a corner three.
Oh yeah,
it was on the line.
No matter how he did it, the Kyrie one, you're talking about, he steps on the line and then gives a fan a middle finger. I mean, I think it pissed everybody off, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, they can't stop him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pissed, but like, your team can't stop him. Like, they're out there, they can't defend. The biggest thing for me watching him is he didn't want to do it here. I knew he was always this good. I knew he was a future Hall. I know all this stuff. He's a dog. He's a flat out dog. And I saw all these articles. I might bring them up later. This guy from the Knicks writes about fans need to get over Kyrie Irving. No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, that's coming from Kyrie Irving, though. Kyrie
Well, there's a guy who writes for the Knicks. Why does he even care about Kyrie Irving?
Because his team's gone.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's what I mean. So let's move over to the other team now. Kyrie Irving, Boston fan. You know, I'm so sick of the Boston fan mantra. Wasn't it going into this thing with Kyrie that, oh, they should play my highlights and stop booing me and stuff like that? But you're the one taunting the crowd. Like, you... And he's the one who gave up the game-winning basket, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Wait till we get into his post-game.
Oh, we didn't even go there.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about the Kyrie, his comments this last week about saying, hey, they need to get over it. It's like, yeah, dude, because you had the last word last year. You had the last word. You got to stomp on the logo. You got to leave, you know, the garden with your head held high last year. And so, yeah, of course, you're going to be the one saying that we need to move on. So... The fans here have yet to get all that out of their system, and I'll be honest with you, I don't blame them. And I thought last night the behavior, I can't hear what people are saying, but just the booing every time he gets the ball, zero. Does anybody have any problem with that? No, it's great. It was awesome.
I'm sure Kyrie dealt with all sorts of slurs and all sorts of.
Well, he said as much after the game. So we'll get to hear what he had to say.
But the thing is that as Boston's for, you know, I'm a fan of the Celtics, but I really do watch unbiased. I try to be very critical of the team. Yesterday they blew that game. The fact that I think we saw at times where this season they became front runners. And what I mean by that, they blow everybody out. And
in the second half of the season, they did.
I don't know what happened, but third quarter, I think it was the start of the third quarter, they just got careless. And the Nets just came back. They went on a 15-4 run at one point.
15-2 run, yep.
Yeah, whatever it was.
Well, that was in the fourth.
But just how careless were you with the basketball? It was like they stopped running. They stopped everything that they do well. And to me, I feel like it's because they put Durant Kyrie was a defensive monster at some points around the perimeter. I think there were some things the Nets did that the Celtics haven't seen before. And Tatum couldn't dribble out of it. Jaylen Brown couldn't dribble out of it. Smart got in the foul trouble. There are some concerns. Despite a win yesterday, there's some concerns. The only thing I'll ask you guys is this as we get in there. We'll play all the highlights in a minute here. But they stole yesterday's win. Is this like a one-up for the Celtics? Or is it, uh-oh?
It's going to be a series. I mean, the Nets could definitely take it. I think it's going seven, so...
I just think Durant was quiet.
Yeah.
And he won't be quiet.
Of course not.
He will not be... And I don't... Kyrie, I don't see why he can't drop 30 a night on the Celtics. They can't stop him either.
Right.
Everybody else, Drummond, bum. A lot of the other guys, bums.
Yeah.
The Claxton kid can't hit a free throw, but he's pretty good. But the more I watch, if they can get out to big leads like they did, 13, 15 points... and sustain it, they won't be beat. My thing is, I think they stole one yesterday, and the confidence for the Nets is very high right now.
Wow.
They stole the game.
I don't know about that. You think the Celtics stole the game?
They blew it and then stole it at the end. They made a defensive stand. Nobody wanted to shoot the ball. Smart actually passed the damn thing.
That was the right call.
Durant and Kyrie let Jason Tatum just walk by. Mm-hmm. Literally run right by and score a layup with 1 second left. It was a mental mistake. They've been bad on defense all year. That's been the Nets.
Well, they had a complete defensive meltdown in the last minute of that game. The Brooklyn Nets did. No question about it. And Jaylen Brown took advantage of it. And then at the game winner right there, they had you heard, I think it was Jeff Van Gundy say they had a 2-for-1, the Celtics did. And boom, Jaylen Brown went in there, scored quick. So they got their two for one scenario, which they won the game on that second possession that I'm talking about. But you got to admit, look, there was the first time in forever when the game counted that the Celtics were in a quote unquote crunch time situation and they passed the test. They're the 29th ranked team this season as far as crunch time games, wins versus losses. They are terrible. It's the first time they've come down to in a big game, crunch time, and they passed the test, Joe. I just can't sit there and look at it and go, yeah, they choked it away. Are you kidding me? That was what we all wanted to know. Could they win a game when it was within 5 points, within 5 minutes of the game, and it was yesterday, and they passed the test.
All right. I don't know. Did they pass the test? I know they won.
That game, to me, was one of the best things, the way that game unfolded, to me, in my opinion. That was one of the better things that could have happened for this team, because they learned it, when the chips were down, that they could deliver at the crunch time. They had to have been worrying that they couldn't do that in big games in the playoffs, and they did it in the first game of the playoff.
We'll play the audio, the Max A. Grandy audio, which should be spectacular. We'll have that, what happened last night, coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Everything's slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Tusher and Rich.
All right, back here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, it's Tutcher and Rich. Give you some highlights. I'll shut up for a minute. Just want to read some tweets. I'm at Joey Murr. Thank you for no Jones. Oh, wait, is it Jones? I'm sorry if I'm a little negative this morning. I'm not trying to be. I'm trying to be unbiased.
Yeah. Trying to just look at it like objectively.
I think they stole a win. I think they blew the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And now game two, like, I feel like they do have the momentum, obviously, but
there's no momentum in playoff basketball.
Oh, that's true.
It's too far in between games from momentum.
Next game's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Let's see here. 6 minutes into the show, Joe Snipes back at Fred. We definitely don't care about Fred and Rich. Good to hear Joey Murray this morning. What has Kyrie done since leaving Boston? Get off his balls, Joe. Kyrie's a fraud. Let's see here. You're a clown. Stick to food topics, Joe.
So early.
Sucks we have to listen to you after such a great game. All right, cool.
The vitriol so early in the morning. I don't understand.
Well, no, but like seriously, like I don't know. Should we celebrate the Celtics win today?
Well,
should we just be all pom poms and
if you don't want to be, Joe, it's how you feel, how you perceive.
But how do you feel?
See, I'm more optimistic. See, I see it as that was the biggest question. Going into the playoffs was the old crunch time stat, which is 13 wins, 22 losses this year. The Celtics, when they are within a 5-point game, within 5 minutes of the game, for I would say 3/4 of the season, the Celtics have been terrible in that situation. I mean, can't close out games all season long. I mean, let's face it, the last 2.5 months, they haven't had to kind of prove themselves because they've blown out teams
right. And
haven't had a lot of crunch time examples to really feed off of in the last couple of months. But let's face it, that's been their Achilles heel. They were in that situation yesterday in a huge game, the first game of a 7-game series against the Brooklyn Nets, and they didn't choke and throw and lose the game. They rallied, and they had great passing. And everybody got involved. And I thought it was interesting. Chris Gasper brought up the point after the game to Ime Udoka. He said, everybody on the floor in that last possession touched the ball. We're so used to the ISO game, right? Mm. In the end of these games, every single person on the Celtics touched the ball in that last possession. There was 10 seconds left. They get the rebound. We're all wondering if they're going to call a timeout. They don't. Boom, boom, boom. Every guy touches the ball, and then, of course, the last guy to touch the ball is Jason Tatum with the layup with no time left.
And I just give Tatum credit for he's off the ball, right? Yeah. Like, you have two – basically, he's guarded by the two best guys. Now, I'm not saying they're the most – Kyrie's a good defender.
But when they want to lock down, they're elite defenders when they decide to play defense.
And I still think Durant's dealing with something. And he's going to come back. He's going to be a great player. But he has to let Kyrie know. Like they didn't communicate. So, like, it is on them. And I think it's a great play by Smart, considering he was shooting. He got hot, right? What, he hit three threes in a row?
Yeah.
He didn't stop after a while. But that's the first – I think finally we can say that Smart penetrated instead of taking the shot, passed it off. It was a great pass.
Yeah.
I mean, he found Jason Tatum. I just – but and I'm not trying to, you know, say that Smart's – made the greatest play or whatever. I still think it was a bad play by Durant and Irving. But I want to give Smart credit
for
not taking that shot.
Yeah. You have to. Yep. You have to. That in the past, he takes that shot.
He did like a minute earlier and missed it.
You're right, he did. Yeah. I give him a ton of credit because, let's face it, then everybody thought Marcus Smart was going to take that shot. Hell, two Nets defenders, I mean, they closed out so fast and two defenders jump up to try and block it, and he pulls it down, goes right between the two of them, and finds Jason Tatum, you know, slicing to the to the basket.
I also give him. I want to.
It was a nice move. Once Tatum got the ball, I mean, he was kind of had to spin around.
It was an amazing
and not
play.
Travel
it really was.
and have a kind of awareness where he was at. You know, at the and he had to get the ball off in enough time before the clock went out. I mean,
Kyrie's perfect. Hand was there, so I think if he doesn't do the spin move, he could have got fouled.
Yeah.
Even if he missed a shot on it. I think Steve Nash also got out coached late. That final play in particular, Goran Dragic should not be on the floor. He was a hell of an offensive player, but even Udoka said it. When the ball went to Dragic, they helped on that. That's why they put Kyrie and Durant on the opposite side, because they wanted guys that could help on the double team. So it went to Brown, went to Smart. That's why he could penetrate. It was the guys that had to help, like you said, come back over after the help. That's how they didn't see Tatum run cut to the basket. That's a great play by Udoka, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Your best player, instead of the ISO ball, is wide open with a chance to get to the basket or be open for a shot. So I do want to tip my cap to Udoka, because to me, Steve Nash, you can't leave a guy that can't defend on the court.
The only thing
games.
I think everybody thought they were going to call a timeout after they gained possession
That's
of the rebound.
Right.
And so Steve Nash... Steve Nash not going to call a timeout, and the Celtics didn't call a timeout. So the personnel that was out there for the Nets, you got to love the one you're with at that point, because we all thought the timeout would be called, and so they'd set up a play. They didn't, and to Ime's credit, he didn't do it. I mean, it worked out. Let's face it, I would have called a timeout. He didn't, and it all played out perfectly. So it's you know, to second guess is silly, but. You're talking about Goran Dragic being out there maybe when he shouldn't have. That partly is because Ime didn't call a timeout, and the Nets had to roll with who they had out there.
All right, let's play the highlights. Let's start off with a Kyrie jumper for the 39th point of the day.
55 seconds to go. Kyrie Irving. Left-hand dribble. Smart in front of him. Kyrie just pounding it. Right hand, left hand. Pull up. Contested three. Hit it.
Good.
39 for Kyrie Irving.
When he hit that other three, there was a time where I'm like, all right, this dude's on. And then he hits the next three. That was the three after the middle finger. He hit the middle finger and then drops this one, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that we'll get to in a little bit. There was another shot I talked about when Durant was in the corner. I just want to play that one because I'm curious how Grandy, his reaction to that shot as well.
Durant hot stepping into the front court. Uh-oh. Derek White picks him up. Durant turns the corner on him, gets into the paint, tries a bounce pass. That gets fumbled. He has it back, forces a tough jumper, bounces in. Dragic got a crazy bounce earlier. Durant gets one now, and the Nets have the lead, 111-109 with 115 to go.
So that was with 115 to go, obviously. Grandy on the call there. And there was a Jaylen Brown three late that kept it together, and I think that's one thing I should mention is the Nets would go up five. Celtics would tie it up. And obviously this three is what kept the Celtics in it from Jaylen Brown.
Brown tried to hand off underneath. It comes out to Derek White. Swung around to the right side. Jaylen, a big three. Two-point game.
Well, they needed somebody to come through. This time, Jaylen able to knock down a couple jump shots.
First three of the quarter for the Celtics. 107-105. Brooklyn by two.
And, of course,
Jaylen Brown needed to step up in the second half.
Well, he's bleeding. Right? He's out there bleeding. Okay. Do you think he flopped on that?
Yes.
You know?
I mean,
yes.
he's bleeding more than I did think he flopped, but then there was so much blood in it. It's like, I guess he didn't flop? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the nose is sensitive, but I don't think he didn't. Let's face it, that was not a bad hit. Kyrie grazed his nose and it started bleeding, but he flopped.
Middle linebacker.
Yeah. Yeah. Please. It looked a little bad. Blood. It looked bad, but it wasn't that bad. But let's face it, Jaylen Brown and Scout called him out at halftime. Like, dude, Jaylen, you got to come on, man. Like, seriously, he did not leave his imprint on that game in the first half. Second half, a little bit different. So good for Jaylen Brown. Because I was wondering, where the hell are you, bud?
All right, let's hear the final call of the game. Celtics down by one. Nice defensive stand. Grandy and Max here on the final call.
8 seconds. Kick out. Left side. Smart up picks. Finds the cutter. Tatum spins. Lays it up and in to beat the buzzer. It's over. It's over. The Celtics have won the ball game at the buzzer. Marcus Smart up fake the three. That killed the final seconds. Tatum joined the play late. Spun at the rim and scored. They will check the clock, but it reads double zeros right now.
Did somebody's grandma just make a sweet potato pie? Damn!
Did he get rid of it in time? The basket is good. The Celtics have won the ball game.
All right, so the radio call was fantastic.
Of course. Sweet potato pie. I have some at home, man, right now. Nice. Is that a big thing for... I've never heard him talk about that.
That's all he talks about.
Oh, I gotta listen to him.
We might as well start a food podcast. Yeah. Myself and Max. Right?
Yeah. Don't step on his toe either.
All right, well, not step on his toe. Well, we could talk sandwiches.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We could talk what's the Cheetos flaming hot popcorn that he likes?
He loves cake. I know that.
Loves cake.
Yep.
Pizza. Gets pizza delivered.
You know he's got a good sweet potato pie? Roach Bros.
Roach Brothers.
Got a great sweet potato pie.
You're talking about the one in Government Center, right in the town?
I go, there's a new one in... it was in Arsenal. It's in Watertown. Ooh. It's in Watertown. It's a new
the one in downtown place. Crossing there.
That's an excellent
one. Up got a two floors.
It does. It's a very nice one as well. Yes. Yeah. I recommend that one as well. You get your sweet potato pie there.
The OG in West Roxbury.
Yeah.
Great spot where I spend most of my days. All right. So the Celtics win. If people are a little upset with me that I'm not giving them enough credit today, I thought it was a fantastic win. Now I will tell you my reaction. I couldn't believe they won. When the ball went in, I go, they won. They won.
I mean, they did have a 15-point lead in the third quarter. Then they had a 11-point lead going into the fourth. So you're surprised they won because they gave it up. I mean, let's face it. After having that big lead, they were down 5 points with, 5 minutes to go and came back and won. You're saying it should – even with the stars they have, it shouldn't have been as close as it was at the end, huh? That's what you're saying. That's what you're saying, Joe.
Yeah, clean it up.
Yeah, clean it up. Okay, fair enough.
Clean it up.
All right, talk about
that. But I do think the Nets stink defensively. I think they – but when they want to, they gave the Celtics fits. That's going to be the question for them. And Steve Nash is questionable. Grandy said in that clip that Tatum was late coming down the floor. I thought that was the way they set it up. Like, I thought they set it up where it was Brown went to the corner, passed it to Smart, who kind of found Tatum – if he was dragging from behind,
he was a little bit, which was I was kind of wondering why. You know, it was almost like I don't know if he knew exactly what was going on. I think the Celtics players were for a split second were all kind of wondering, is he going to call a timeout? And then they realized, nope. And I think Tatum was. I think Tatum was. You go back and look at it. I think Tatum was a little bit late getting down the court, but it doesn't matter. He was there when he needed to be.
All right, Celtics win game one. Yeah, they win game one. By one. It was a great win. We'll continue more of this. Also, we'll hear from Kyrie Irving. Your calls, too. I see people lined up on the phone lines at 617-779-0985. Here is Mike Lockhart with the Sports Up headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I mean, look at us. We are just three intimidating sons of bitches.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back here at 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich, but no Rich, no Fred, no Wallach. But Mike Lockhart in studio. Dan O'Brien's here. Nick Jamelli is here with the Twitch fam. I want to get into Kyrie Irving's comments after the game, but first, let's take a couple of calls here. We got Kevin in Grafton. Good morning, Kevin. How are you today?
Hey, good morning, guys. I think you're having a problem here with the difference between being objective and being critical. You said, I watched the game as a fan, so I have to be objective, so I'm going to be critical. There's a big difference between that, and that's the difference between someone like Felger and someone like Jones. One of them is entertaining. One of them is insufferable. You're saying that they have nothing to hang their hat on from last night when they played two of the top 10 players in the league. One went off for nearly 40. You have a rookie coach who didn't puke on himself with 9 seconds left. You have Marcus Smart who didn't take two bad shots that he definitely could have taken in that last little stretch. You have Jaylen Brown who hit a monstrous three at the end with a broken nose. I'm not saying that the series is over. They're definitely going to win or anything. But there's a big difference between being like, okay, well, they did some things right. They did some things wrong. We knew they were a good team, but now we know they're a tough team as well, and they can come out in an atmosphere that is as charged as it was last night. And, well, they only won by 1 point, so what is there to even tell them? Whoa, they won a buzzer beater. Wow, how great. Like, that's the difference, and it's going to just become insufferable.
Okay. Did I do something wrong?
No, you did. No. You are questioning it, or you said that they lost the game. Or, no, how did you frame it?
I think they almost blew the lead.
They blew the lead, yes.
Made a great defensive stand at the end of the game.
Stole the game. That's what you said.
Stole it.
You're saying the Celtics stole the game.
Yeah, I think they stole the game.
And that has a negative connotation to it, as if they should have, you know, really had no business winning that game, that they stole the game.
Well, I am giving them credit for
they should have won that game.
When Kyrie hit a three and then Durant follows up with a two-pointer, they were down five with like a minute and 11 to go.
Mm-hmm.
But we just played you the highlights. Jaylen Brown hits the three. That was huge. But the bloody nose.
I think that's a more reason to be optimistic is the fact that they were down five with a minute and 15 seconds left.
I don't want to bring this up, but I'll be the one to do it.
Go ahead, say it, Joe.
The ref sucked in that first half.
Wrangle.
Right? No, Zach Zarba is one of the Wrangle guys.
You know what?
30 fouls in the first half. That's why it was tied at halftime.
18 in the first quarter.
But that's why it was tied.
The most fouls called in a first quarter in the entire NBA season was yesterday. 18 fouls.
Hey, listen, halftime had nothing to do with the game. I just think it kept the Nets in it is all I'm saying.
It's interesting because Jeff Van Gundy said but he thought they were playing really physical. He thought both teams were playing really physical.
Where'd the whistles go late in the game? Did you notice that?
They always get swallowed up at the late in the game.
So I took the under for the game, and it went barely. I took the under second half, which hit. But I thought the game would go, it did. That fourth quarter, everything tightened up. Everybody tightened up in that fourth quarter except for Kyrie. Kyrie went on an 8-0 run. I am trying to be objective, and the way I look at it is they stole it. But at the same time, as a fan, I'm concerned if they can do this through seven games. I am. But we have to give them credit. Udoka didn't make the timeout late in the game. That was huge. Marcus Smart didn't take the shot. That was huge. So, I mean, the way I look at it, like, yeah, they won. Woo! But, like, there's a lot to clean up here. And when you're up double digits in a fourth quarter, or, you know, they trailed in the fourth quarter. But when you're up in the second half, 15 points, and you blow the lead,
But they blew.
It's concerning.
They blew the lead to a team in which you have, I don't know, like you have the best player in the world on their team, and you have another great player, maybe arguably a top 10 player in Kyrie Irving, and they're closers. They're both closers. Both of them know how to close out games. You have to expect, Joe, that they're going to come back from an 11 point lead going into the fourth quarter of an NBA game when you are facing a team that has two of the top 10 players is nothing.
Only thing I'll bring up here, and maybe the Nets are special, but I watched every playoff game this weekend. Like, he blew out the Hawks.
Yeah, it's bad.
The Bucks essentially took care of business. They didn't blow them out. But, and then the Suns blew out the Pelicans. Like, every game that when it get, like, the team went away and ran away with it. And this was the one game where the team that ran away with it. And it even actually, if it happened in the play-in game, the Clippers played without Paul George. And, you know, they ended up going up 10 points in the fourth quarter and then lost by 4. That was it. That was a play-in game. And it was just two teams that were just, you know, fighting for their lives here. But
I'm going to give you one reason. I have to interject information and data and facts every now and then to my argument. Just to give you a reason to be optimistic, every team that has won the first game of a 7-game series in the playoffs goes on to win the series 75% of the time. So this was a monster game for them to win. I don't think they stole it. I think they earned this game, and they – I didn't think they were tested, and they passed the test. They finally won a game in crunch time against a worthy adversary at a critical time. So that, to me, should give them a ton of confidence moving forward.
All right, let's just hear the Kyrie postgame. I'm sure Kyrie, we all saw what happened. He hits the big shot, gives up the game-winning basket, and then he walks into the locker room, and someone says, "Kyrie, you suck," and he says, SMD. And then goes to the podium and talks about the fans swearing at him.
And it's not every fan. I don't want to attack every fan, every Boston fan. But when people start yelling, "F- you," and all this stuff, it's but so much you can take as a competitor. And, you know, we're the ones expected to be docile and be humble and take a humble approach. Nah, that's the playoffs. This is what it is. You know, I know what to expect in here, and it's the same energy I'm giving back to them.
He's saying, "I'm just doing business being done. Hey, I flipped them off because they were yelling things at me." Is this the only place that Kyrie Irving gets yelled at?
Cleveland.
I mean, I can't imagine this is the only arena that he goes to and they're yelling mean things to him.
Yeah, I'm sure Philadelphia has a few things to say to him just because he's in the division. And, yeah. You know, I'm sure these guys hear it all the time. He just it's magnified in Boston.
I'm just saying a general yelling at. Right. There's words that people can say that are different. I get that. That can provoke responses that are maybe, you know, a fan deserves to get barked back at. But I'm talking about just general getting yelled at in an arena. This can't be the only place that he gets yelled at.
But people have thrown bottles at him, called him names. I mean, you know, and he has stepped on the floor and all that stuff. And the players went out with him when they lost last year in the playoffs. They went out in Brooklyn after they lost.
But I think that's something we got to talk about throughout the show. Is just how do we think collectively the Celtics were they there to do business, or were they trying to buddy up with the Nets? And I thought they were, for the most part, it was all business yesterday. I didn't see a lot of that grab ass, a little bit of it, but for the most part, I just thought they were in a different place mentally. They were in a totally different place, and if they would have lost that game yesterday, guys, I can see this thing getting unraveling quick, but they didn't.
Yep.
And they won a tough game in a great environment, and to me, that should give them a ton of confidence going forward.
Yeah, and I'm not too worried about every other team that won yesterday blowing them out. I mean, this was a difficult series.
Yep.
The rest of them were pretty much walkovers.
For the first round of the playoffs, this is the series.
I wanted this series over a Chicago one just to build momentum against a very good team, because I feel like you can get stagnant a little bit in the first round against a bad team.
Yep.
And I think this, if they can win this, it could really propel them towards the Eastern Conference Finals.
And let's face it, there was two sides of it, and I'm curious I forget where you guys fall on this. Mike, I haven't heard yours, and Joe, I don't think I've heard yours. Just there's two theories of thought going into this series, right? I mean, you know, leading up to the end of the season, it was like, do you want to play Brooklyn? A lot of people, I'd say the majority of people, are like, bring them on. We have nothing to hide. Let's go.
That was me, yeah.
Okay, so Mike, that was where you were. I was the other guy. I was like, the path of least resistance. I was with Beetle. Beetle was kind of on that. Felger and Maz were on the, hey, bring them on. I was on the, no, make it easy as you can. And so I'm just curious, people that want the easy path, how do they feel versus the people that say, hey, bring on Brooklyn. We want them. If you got to beat the best if you're going to be the best. I'm curious to hear from those folks as well. Yeah. Like, hey, you wanted Brooklyn. Are you okay that you got him now that you saw what happened yesterday? Because this is going to be a long, tough, grueling series.
Oh, more on the Celtics win in game one coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.